This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد حديث number 67 in the book عمدة الأحكام from Abdullah ibn Umar again the hadith عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم from عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said إذا استأذنت أحدكم امرأته إلى المسجد فلا يمنعها. The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and this is from عبد الله بن عمر, إذا استأذنت أحدكم إذا استأذنت أحدكم امرأته, if your woman asks permission from one of you to go to the masjid, then don't prevent her from doing so. Meaning you should allow her to do so. We look at the hadith, it says imra'atuhu, your woman, meaning if it's your wife, your, of course, you have authority over, and if they want to go to the masjid, then don't prevent them from doing so. قال, and so he said, فقال بلال ابن عبد الله, بلال ابن عبد الله, he said, who's بلال ابن عبد الله? بلال ابن عبد الله is the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. He has a son by the name of بلال. He has a son. So his son بلال says, والله لنمنعهن, والله لنمنعهن. By Allah, we're going to prevent them from doing so. Meaning, we're going to prevent the woman from going to the masjid. فَأَقْبَلَ عَلَيْهِ Abdullah turned to him. فَسَبَهُ سَبًّا سَيِّئًا مَا سَمِعْتُهُ سَبَّهُ مِثْلَهُ قَطْ. He said, and then he scolded him in a way I never heard him scold anyone before this. وَقَالَ, and he said, while scolding him, he said, أُخْبِرُكَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَتَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ لَنَمْنَعُهُنَّ. He said, I tell you that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, don't prevent them from doing, like, I tell you that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said this, and then you say you're going to prevent them from going to the masjid? And in another narration, لَا تَمْنَعُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. So do not prevent the servant of Allah, the female servant of Allah, the houses, the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this hadith, we gain a couple of things. First, إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَتْ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَتْ أَحَدَكُمْ. If your woman, إِمْرَأَتْهُمْ is your woman here, and this is the word woman is used because it could mean your wife, and it also could mean your daughter, it also could mean your mother, it could mean your sister, and so forth. So the woman in your family, if they want to go to the masjid, إلى المسجد, do not prevent them from doing so. To go to the masjid to do what? To go to the masjid to pray, of course. If they want to go pray, then that's fine. And that's why the scholars have mentioned, like, this is to the masjid to pray. And so if they said, if somebody, for example, if your wife says or your daughter says, I want to go to the masjid. Why? Oh, I heard that the new masjid, I just want to know what the new masjid looks like. Then are you allowed to prevent her? Yes, you can. Because the meaning of the hadith by default is that if she wants to go to pray, to do an act of worship, then you can prevent her from doing so. But if it's just to look at the masjid, to see the masjid, then that falls out of the category of what's mentioned in this hadith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And he says, فَلَا يَمْنَعْهَا, do not prevent her. Prevent her from what? Do not prevent her from going to the masjid. And so here, فَقَالَ بِلَالِ ابْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. So Bilal ibn Abdullah, again, as I mentioned, is the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. Wallahi la namna'uhunna. And so this one, why did he say this? He said this, because he want to go against the order of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. The reason why he said it was because he felt that the women going to the masjid in his days, like they were, it was too much, too chaotic. And maybe before, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the women were, when they came to the masjid, they were shy, they were quiet, after they finished, they would go right away. And then the characteristics of the women during the time of the tabi'een, meaning during time after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the time of the companions and the generations that came afterwards, like their characteristics and the actions that they did changed. And so that's why it was, and we're not talking about, you might say, well, look at this is so unfair, right? Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, don't prevent them? Then why would someone say something like this? The reason is because they realize how different it was before. You know, how different it was before. And so that is why we have another hadith in Sahih Bukhari. And the hadith is from Aisha radiallahu anha. Listen to what she said. We're not talking about some male sahabi. We're talking about the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, one of the most knowledgeable and one of the most well-known for her knowledge, and well-known also, of course, she is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the mother of the believers. She said, لَوْ أَدْرَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ مَا أَحْدَثَ النِّسَاءُ لَمَنَعَهُنَّ. He said, if the Messenger of Allah saw this, what you women are doing, and this is not coming from a man, right? If it's coming from a man, especially nowadays, what are you guys talking about? What are you talking about, right? So this is a man, this is a woman who is saying this. She said, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have seen what the women were doing now, they come lamana'uhunna kama muni'at nisa'u bani Israel. Just like the women of the Israelites were prevented from going to the masjid. Like the women of the Israelites were prevented from going to the masjid. And of course you might say, why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Allah created us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each man and woman their roles. He gave each of men and women their roles. Everyone who fulfills their roles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them greatly. And that's why for a woman to pray in her house, she will get more reward. But for a man to pray in the masjid, then of course that is the default for a man. And a woman prays at home and a man prays in the masjid because they have different roles. And sometimes when you mix those things up, sometimes when the women get together, and I'm not saying that the men when they get together, they don't do it, but some women when they get together, you're going to the masjid for reward, but the opposite may happen. Why? Because they like to sit down and what? Backbite and sit down and talk about other people. You know, like, because it's the nature of some women. You know, some women they like to talk, and there's some women like to slander. Not that the men don't do it, but generally, a lot of times you have this, when the women get together, they're more detail-oriented when they're talking. You know, like, for example, if someone were to call me, you know, every single time I would mention some news to either my mother or my wife, they would ask for more information, right? Like, if I said, oh, so-and-so, I heard so-and-so, you know, I just got news that so-and-so gave birth. And then immediately, right, my wife or the woman in the family, they would ask, was it a boy or a girl? And I would tell them, it was a boy, alhamdulillah, you know, it's a boy. Oh, what did it look like? Did it look more like the father or the mother? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, like those details, like, I don't worry. Oh, was the labor difficult? What happened? What time? Like when I hear the news and somebody told me that, I never even thought about asking them that. Boy or girl, that's it. right? For some people, this is not boy and girl is not enough. They'll continue to talk at all the little details and so forth. It's just the nature of it, right? And so if somebody comes to the masjid and, you know, alhamdulillah, there's good speech, and then there's, of course, speech that is, you know, contrary to the principles of Islam, and also it's considered, you know, some of it's considered inappropriate. And so sometimes, you know, when women get together, the more likely, generally, the more likely to talk, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And that's why sometimes, you know, when the, I know personally, like some, you're not this masjid, I don't know what happens in the women's side when there's a lot, but I know like in the Jama'at al-Muslimin, whenever there's a lecture, I always ask my mother or my wife, like, did you guys hear the khutbah? They go, we couldn't hear, everybody was talking. Like, I couldn't hear. They said, I didn't, I was trying to stay next to the microphone just to listen, but everybody was just talking. Like, it's very difficult to hear. And of course, they're separated from the men, yeah, and separated from the lecture, but at the same time, you see that that particular, that's more, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created men and women differently. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't prevent women from coming to the masjid. Yes, you don't prevent them. But their houses are better for them. Their houses are better for them. And the reward is greater for them when they pray at home than if they were to pray in the masjid. So here, when Bilal ibn Abdullah, he said, Wallahi, we will prevent them from doing so. Right? The reason is because he saw how the women were during his time compared to the women before. And he also probably, Allah knows best, maybe heard from Aisha herself. She even said so. Not another Sahaba or Sahabi. It's a Sahabiya, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, if the Messenger of Allah saw what you guys are doing now, he would have prevented you guys, all you guys, from going to the masjid. Right? So what is the ruling on it? The ruling on that is that you're still, you should not prevent women from going to the masjid. Right? Unless they do not fill the conditions. Unless there's a different, there's another reason for it. Number one is that if them coming to the masjid causes a greater fitna. Sometimes there's fitna. In times of fitna, in times of problems, and you know that there's going to be problems when they go. And fitna, Allah knows best what kind of fitna. Maybe because of danger, maybe because of, let's say, you know, if she goes and she walks to the masjid, you know, the neighborhood is not safe, right? You don't prevent her from going. You know what? I don't want you to walk at nighttime, right? I don't want you to go to the masjid. You're not preventing her to go to the masjid because you don't want her to go to the masjid. No, you're preventing her for her own safety because the road is not safe. The time is not safe. The neighborhood is not safe. And so he said, you know, I don't want you to go because it's a little bit dangerous out there. And if you want to go, then we'll go together. If you have to go, but you know, if you know, we'll go together. But if she wants to go and then maybe you're not there, she said, you know, she might call and you might be at work or you might be somewhere else. And she goes, can I go to the masjid for Isha tonight? And he goes, no, I'm not gonna let you go today, tonight. Why? Because this neighborhood is not safe. I don't want you to walk out there for your own safety, your personal safety. So there could be fitna that's caused by the women themselves, or there could be danger that may result maybe harm that may happen as a result of her going, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Also, if them going to the masjid will cause something haram to happen or do something haram, then of course that's something else. That's another thing also. That's one of the another condition also. Another condition some of the scholars have mentioned is that as long as, you know, like women, men and women, they're going to the masjid and it's causing them to, like, you know, like, let's say the road is small and it might be, there's a lot of intermingling as a result. There's some fitna intermingling amongst men and women. And so if you're afraid that those types of things that are not appropriate are happening, meaning things that are not appropriate, haram-wise, You know, you understand, like there are things that are haram that are going on. Then that's something. That's another thing. You're not allowed to. You can actually prevent her from doing so. Or if a woman goes out with perfume, like she adorns herself, right? And she's like, you know, because why? Because that's prohibited. It is prohibited for a woman to go to the masjid with perfume because it attracts people when she goes outside, not just the masjid, just going outside and wearing perfume. And just like for men, it's prohibited for a man to go to the masjid after he eats onions, right? Because it's going to bother people. But if a woman going and wearing perfume, a man going wearing perfume, it's okay. It's permissible. But for a woman to go, it causes fitna. And there are specific hadith, which we'll get to inshallah, that mention that a woman is not allowed to go out. And if she does so, it's actually considered a major sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Or if there's a place specifically for women, meaning there's a specific door for them, they're not entering from the same door where it's causing fitna. So if you have a door for a man, a door for a woman, just like during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? They had a door for a man, men, and a door for a woman, right? So that there wouldn't be any intermingling of sort. And so the masjid, a woman should also pray at the back. And she will get more reward, inshallah, for praying in the back of the masjid. Like some of these things that we're mentioning right now, like you have a lot of feminists that were like, no, that's not fair. Like this is not something that we're making up. You understand? This is Allah, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows what's best. And that's why right now people are so they're always trying to challenge the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the point where some masajids now have men and women praying next to each other, like on the same line, next to each other. Like there's a reason why that's not permissible. Like how are you going to have khushu? How are you going to have khushu? And the fitna in the church and the synagogues, if there's intermingling, like in the church, you know, I don't know about the synagogues, I think they're a little more, conservative in that aspect. But in the churches, where did the people find, their spouses? Like during service, they're looking at each other. Their eyes are looking at each other. And so in the masjid, there's a section for women and a section for men. And also, if a woman prays in the masjid, if a man, let's say the imam makes a mistake, a woman, for the woman, they should clap at tasbiqu nil nisa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said tasbih for the men. He says subhanallah when the imam makes a mistake. But if it's a woman, can she correct the imam? Yes, she can, but she can correct it with the clapping. So if the imam knows that there are women praying behind and she's clapping, that means he realized he did something wrong. Maybe he did something wrong, so it's to remind him. So a woman can remind. So it shows that it's permissible, but she, in prayer, she should not say subhanallah. Why? Because her voice may be fitna for the men. You have to understand, it's not, there's nothing wrong with the women, right? It's just that's a weak spot for the men. Do you understand? It's a weak spot for the men. There are a lot of men, the greatest fitna for them is women. It's a big fitna. When they get married, it's fitna. Before they get married, it's fitna. Right? And so the Prophet, that's why the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً هِيَ أَضَرُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I have not left behind a fitna greater for the men, I mean more harmful for men than women. More harmful, fitna. What is the fitna? Different types of trials and tribulations. There are sometimes you don't want to go, you know, we don't want to do that, that's haram. And then the shaitan goes and whispers to the woman in your family, maybe your wife, and she says, well, you know, so-and-so does it. so-and-so, our neighbor, and his son even went to study in Medina. Stuff like that, right? And so like, okay, well, if they did it, that's fine, right? But you know, where's that coming from? Sometimes it's a fitna. The fitna is coming from that. And sometimes for men, they can't control themselves, right? And so you have to control the situation. And that's why the biggest, you know, there are a lot of problems. Like for example, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when he's making bay'ah, he said, "Inni la usafihu an-nisa." When he made bay'ah, he would shake hands. Well, you know, when they would take covenant, he would shake hands with the men. And when the women would reach their hands out to try to shake, he said, "Inni la usafihu an-nisa." So I don't shake hands with women. And it's not something that is, it's not like it's bad in terms of the women are degrading. No. But there are some things that may cause fitna. And that's why you have this Me Too fad or Me Too thing that's going on, right? And it's coming out and the offices and so forth. And many families are destroyed as a result of it. I've actually heard a sister, right? It was a sister. And she actually, you know, of course, she wasn't Muslim before. Right, and she said, you know, when she heard the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ didn't used to shake hands with women, right? He said, you know, if my previous husband, were to follow this hadith, we wouldn't be divorced. She said, we wouldn't be divorced, and that's because the reason why we're divorced is because he goes around shaking hands. Well, now not only that, well, you might say, well, it's just shaking hands. Number one, it's the fitna for the man. Number two, there's jealousy from the woman's side. Like you shake a woman's hand, and she'll know, like, oh, you were shaking it that way. I know. that was a little bit longer than usual, huh? Like when Bobby shook your hands, it was 2 seconds. I saw that. That was like 10 seconds handshake with Cindy. Right? And so there's also jealousy, and that causes problems also, right? And so there's so many things. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, prevents us from doing something, then it's best for us. And if He says, don't prevent women from going to the masjid, right, as long as they fulfill the conditions, and it's not causing fitna and so forth, then we're not allowed to prevent women from doing so. So Bilal ibn Abdullah, he said, "Wallahi, by Allah, I'm going to stop them." And so that's why his father scolded him, yelled at him in a way that he's never yelled at anyone before. Why? Because he said, "Ukhbiruka ar Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa taqulu wallahi la namna'uhunna." So I'm telling you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. Don't prevent them, and you're going to say, "I'm going to prevent them." Like, how could you say such things? How could you go against? How could you say such things like that? Like, straightforward like that, right? You might be able to say, the women are doing this, right? But don't, why did he get mad at him? Because it seemed to contradict openly against the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's really improper. That's an improper way to express it, even though he may be trying to express something that's legitimate, like Aisha radiallahu anha was trying to express, right? And so that's more appropriate to say, you know, I don't think a woman should be going to the masjid if they keep on doing it like this. You know, they come to the masjid and all they're doing is backbiting, you know, honey, I don't think you should be going. I'm not going to prevent you, but I don't think you should be going. Right, and so that's why we get a couple of another hadith. Okay, we get another hadith from Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. You know, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu did not like that one of his wives used to always go to the masjid. She used to always go to the masjid, and he didn't like that. He didn't like that his wife was always going to the masjid, but he never prevented her. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, his son, he said, كانت امرأة لعمر تشهد صلاة الصبح والعشاء في الجماعة في الجماعة في المسجد. One of the wives of Umar al-Khattab, who is this, you know, one of the wives of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who she used to love to go. She would go to pray the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer in congregation in the masjid. And so it was said to her, right? And she knew that Umar didn't like that. And she said to her, لِمَ تَخْرُجِينَ. So it was said to her, لِمَ تَخْرُجِينَ وَقَدْ تَعْلَمِينَ أَنَّ عُمَرْ يَكْرَهُ ذَلِكَ وَيَغَارْ. So why is it that you continue to go when you know that Umar does not like it? And you know how jealous he is. He's very jealous. Like he has ghira, right? You know, he's very protective of his women. So he doesn't, he said, well, you know that he doesn't like it. Why do you keep on doing it? Right? And so she says, وَمَا يَمْنَعُهُ أَنْ يَنْهَانِي. He said, why does he, if he didn't want me to go, then he would prevent me from doing so. Like, why? What's preventing him what is stopping him from preventing me? And so he said, يَمْنَعُهُ قَوْلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ لَا تَمْنَعُوا إِمَاءَ اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. The only thing that's preventing him is because the Prophet said, don't stop, don't prevent the female servants of Allah from the houses of Allah. Like, from the houses of Allah, the female servants of Allah, from the houses of Allah. And he said, that's what's preventing him. Otherwise, he would not let you go out. He doesn't want you to go out. But he respects the word of the Prophet above his, even his own desires. You know, he puts the word of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prioritizes it before his even his own desires. And of course, in another narration, لَا تَمْنُعُ إِمَا اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. And this is the other narration that's mentioned. And why is this mentioning? This specific narration is very, very, very subtle, and its benefits also. Notice he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا تَمْنَعُ إِمَا اللَّهِ. Don't prevent the female servants of Allah from the houses of Allah. What does that mean? That means, you know, these women who are under your authority, your wife, your daughters, you know who they are? They are the servants of Allah. They belong to Allah. They are servants of Allah. They are your wives, your daughters, but still above and beyond that, they are the servants of Allah. And the servants of Allah, they should not be prevented from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Like, it's not your house. It's not your house. It's not my house. It's the house of Allah. And these servants of Allah, these female servants of Allah, they don't belong to you. They are the servants of Allah. So if Allah says, let them go to the house of Allah, then you let them go to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, Masajid Allah, meaning, you know, they, if they want to go and they want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if it's for, you know, the acts of worship, for ibadah and so forth, then of course, this is also something that you don't prevent. So if she wants to go to Jum'ah, then you should not, as long as she fulfills those conditions. But if you see that she's going out inappropriately, wearing inappropriate clothing, she's not going out with appropriate attire, if it's, you can prevent her from going to the masjid. Somebody might, you know, might put on, you know, like perfume or makeup and so forth, going to the masjid. You say, no, I'm not going to let you go out like that. But I'm going to the mosque, to the masjid. How are you going to prevent me? Now, I'm not preventing you from going to the masjid. I'm preventing you from going to the masjid looking like that. Because that's not something Allah ordered you to do. That's something that's haram. The way that you're going out and you're not dressed appropriately, that's not something that's permissible. So you're preventing her from going out in that condition. Even if she were to go to the supermarket like that, you should prevent her. Because it's prohibited for her from going out in a way that is, you know, alluring and causing a fitna when she goes out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knows best. But here we get another hadith, another benefit here. إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَتْ, notice the hadith, right? إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَتْ, when she asks permission. What does that mean when she asks permission? It's an indication that if a woman goes out, even when she goes out, she should ask and let her husband know. Right? She should let her husband know. You know, sometimes some husbands, some wives, right, like, where are you going? Why are you, do I need to tell you? Like, I just want to go out. Wherever I go is my business. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Wherever I go is my business. No, if you're going to the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَتْ أَحَدُكُمْ إِمْرَأَتُهُ, if, when your wife or the woman ask permission, and before, that's normal. When a woman goes out, she usually asks permission from her husband. But when she does ask, then don't prevent her. If she says, oh, I'm going to the masjid, then don't say, oh, no, you can't go. It's just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يحل للمرأة أن تصوم وزوجها شاهد إلا بإذني. And لا يحل, it is not permissible for a woman to fast, meaning the sunnah fast, of course, and her husband is shahid, meaning he's not traveling at home, he's at home, إلا بإذنه, except by his permission. Which means what? This is, if she wants to fast, is fasting a good thing? Yes, it's an act of worship. But there are rights and obligations here. And that shows that, you know, if a woman wants to fast, she should tell her husband, like, can I fast tomorrow? Can I fast tomorrow? Tomorrow is Thursday, I would like to fast. And he might, you know, like, no, I don't, we're going to go out today and tomorrow. All right? Or maybe he doesn't want that. He doesn't want her to fast. And if he doesn't want her to fast, inshallah, she will still get the reward of fasting. She will still get the reward because if she normally fasts and she asks her husband, says, you know, I want to fast tomorrow. And he says, no, I don't want you to fast tomorrow. If he has a reason for it and so forth, he says, no, I don't want you to fast, then you don't fast. You don't fast. And if he doesn't want you to go out, then you don't go out. That's simple. But you know, nowadays, it's like there's a lot of, there's all, you know, you have rights and obligations, right? Rights and obligations. So if you're not taking care of the household, you're not going to work. And you can't prevent your wife from going out if you're not even paying for the house. That's your obligation. Do you understand? Your obligation. You're not paying for the house. And we don't have, they don't have, your family, she's the one taking care of the household. Like, you're not fulfilling your obligations, and you're also trying to fulfill, you're not being the man in the household, you're not taking responsibility, then, of course, that has to change. You have to fulfill those responsibilities. In order for you to have those rights also. You know, it's a both ways. So you fulfill those responsibilities and make sure that you take care of her. If she doesn't go to work, let's say you go out and then you go out and you eat at your mother's house. You go out and you eat at your mother's house and your wife doesn't have food. And then she can't go to work. She doesn't have any money. She doesn't have any food at home to eat. Like, what are you doing? You went to eat at your mother's house. what kind of husband is this? Because there are some husbands, they don't go to work at all. They just sit home and their wives are going to work. And then when their wives come home, like, hey, why don't you wash the dishes? Why don't you make a meal cook for me? Like, la ilaha illallah. Like, you force her to go out to work. And then you want her also to take care of you at home. Like, each one fulfills their obligation. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's necessary, especially now. It's difficult, you know, it's difficult because maybe one income is not enough, you know, one income is not enough, but it should be enough and you should work hard enough, inshallah, to try to make sure that you take care of them, inshallah, that you take care of them. Because each has responsibilities and also each of them has their rights. In Islam, you have justice, You have equality and justice, meaning when I say about equality, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already put who has certain rights. And when you say certain rights, like, for example, a woman, when she, when you have brothers and sisters who inherit from their parents, the sister, the brothers get more than the sisters. Why? Because they have financial obligations. They have some financial obligations. Whatever the woman has, she doesn't have to fulfill those financial obligations. If something were to happen, who's in charge? Who has to pay for the bills? It's the man. The man is the one who has that financial obligation. So that's why he gets more than the woman, because she doesn't have the financial obligation as a man. And so that's what's called justice. And the rule of Allah is that which is the most just. So inshallah, we'll end it with that, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us that which benefit us and benefit us that which has taught us. Does anybody have any questions, inshallah?
So the last part that you said it, financial obligation for the man is like if the one who has debt, they can pay, and the woman, like the lady, cannot pay, or how?
A debt?
Yeah, like.
When it comes to financial obligations, mm-hmm. if a woman, let's say if a woman borrows some money, right? Before she gets, let's say she has, before she got married, she has certain debts. Those debts are upon her. Those debts are specifically upon her. If she can pay it off, then if you want to help her pay off, then it's good. And if you want to help her pay off, like in terms of like, you know, if you want to help her pay off and you're paying off you with zakat, you can pay off debts, you know, those who are in debt, indebted with, you can pay their zakat off for them. And so some of the scholars have mentioned, even normally your children, right, and your wife, you can't give zakat to them because you have to take care of them already anyways. But if they're in a situation where it's related to debt, then that's a category of its own. Especially, let's say she got married to you and she had the debts before, you can give to her to pay off that debt, yeah, even though she's your wife. Because it's not really giving to her, it's giving to someone who's in debt. So when it comes to financial, like somebody, you know, like in the United States, some of America and other places also, when a person gets married, hey, you get married, immediately what happens? Like, hey, your bank account, you got one bank account. And that's why I don't recommend anyone to get married to have the same bank account. The man should have his own, the woman should have their own. The men should have their own bank account, and men should have their own bank account. And everyone should be separated. Because one of the main reasons for divorce is financial. Man, one of the, like, you know, sometimes, like, for example, your wife wants to help her parents, like, and she's taking that money, said, hey, you know, I went to work, why are you helping your parents? Right? But if she says, you know, this is my money here, I'm helping my parents with my money, like, what can I say? Like, go ahead, that's your money. So you can give anyone you want. You want to give to your parents, you want to help your parents, that's fine. I can't stop you, that's your money. You have the right to give to your parents. But you take my money to give your parents? No. Like, that's my money, right? And if I want to give my mother, yeah, that's fine. And if I want to help your parents out of my own good heart, then it's okay too. Yes. You know, I see that they're in need, it's okay.
She's forcing you to help her parents too.
Yeah, if she's forcing you to help her parents also, then you said, you know, that's not my obligation with it. I'll help, maybe give zakat if they're in need, and I'll help them out and I'll give double the reward, but it's not my financial responsibility. I have to take care of you, but I don't have to take care of your whole tribe, right? You have to take care of your whole tribe also, because sometimes you get married to a group of a family, you got to take care of the whole tribe. I know Somali brothers, mashallah, you know, 2/3 of their money goes back to Somalia, right? You have to take care of the whole tribe. Now you get married to another tribe, you got to take care of two tribes. Isn't that right? You got no money left. The brothers are struggling here day and night, driving Uber 18 hours a day, right? Sleeping in his car, right? And 3/4 of his money sent to his tribe. I mean, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing, right? You know, it's a good thing to help others, but you also have to take care of your family also. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.